You have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessings. Elizabeth Gilbert. Stay tuned as Kaylee McDevitt tells you why minerals are vital to hormonal prosperity and the manifestation of your own blessings.
So the big question is, how do women over 40 like us keep weight off, have great energy, balance our hormones and our moods, feel sexy and confident, and master midlife? If you're like most of us, you're not getting the answers you need and remain confused and pretty hopeless to ever feel like yourself again. As an OBGYN, I had to discover for myself the truth about what creates a rock-solid metabolism, lasting weight loss, and supercharged energy after 40 in order to lose 100 pounds and fix my fatigue. Now, I'm on a mission. This podcast is designed to share the natural tools you need for impactful results and to give you clarity on the answers to your midlife metabolism challenges. Join me for tangible natural strategies to crush the hormone imbalances you're facing and help you get unstuck from the sidelines of life. My name is Dr. Kieran Dunstan. Welcome to the Hormone Prescription Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Hormone Prescription. Thank you so much for joining me today as we dive in with Kaylee McDevitt, who's a registered dietitian, into minerals. And I know there's the alphabet soup nutrients, and it can be hard to keep track of them. And you're like, Kieran, now you're going to get into the real nitty gritty. Yep, we're going to get into the nitty gritty, but she's going to make it super simple. Because is hormonal balance and hormonal prosperity necessary? Absolutely. But if you don't have the right cofactors for those hormones to be able to get into the cell, first to get to the cell, then to get into the cell, then to be used by the cell, then it's kind of pointless to try to get to hormonal prosperity. So you've got to address your mineral repletion. There are some essential ones that you need to really pay attention to and why. We're going to talk about why it's best to get it from your food and supplements, which ones are most important first, second, and next. Where are the pitfalls when it comes to balancing and repleting your minerals? And we're going to talk about this amazing quote from one of my favorite authors, Elizabeth Gilbert, and one from Thich Nhat Hanh that will help you in your life. Kaylee's going to share part of her journey from poor health to vitality and really serving and her purpose in this lifetime, because isn't that what we all want after all? Yeah, I know you want that. You sure do, and you deserve it. So I'll tell you a little bit about her, and then we'll get started. So Kaylee is a registered dietitian, as I said, specializing in nutrition for women's health, and she owns a virtual private practice where she and her team help their clients reclaim their energy, optimize fertility, and overcome hormone symptoms through personalized nutrition. Having experienced the pitfalls of a conventional approach to women's health firsthand, I know a lot of you can relate. I can relate. Kaylee is passionate about empowering women to build health from a place of connection to self, to nature, and to community. Please help me welcome Kaylee to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love talking about nutrition because as a traditionally trained mainstream doctor originally, I got no education in nutrition. And even though I'm now fellowship trained in anti-aging metabolic functional medicine, I find that nothing replaces the depth with which a nutritionist or dietitian can go into each specific nutrient, can go into the foods and where you find that, and really has a depth and breadth of knowledge that I probably will never have in my lifetime. So thank you for being here and sharing that with our audience.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So when it comes to a woman's health, right? So from menarche, when she first gets her period, to motherhood, when she's pregnant, to perimenopause, usually by 35, 40, the menopause, average age of 51. There are a lot of hormonal transitions that women go through. We talk a lot on the podcast about that. So I think women are pretty familiar with what's happening at these different stages as they go into hormonal poverty, as I call it. But we don't talk a lot about how minerals are changing and how they might be the key to any transition. So I'm wondering if you can start just by sharing with everyone from your perspective, because you have a unique RD perspective, is that something that you were taught in your training about these changes through the transitions for women's health? Or is that something you came to a realization about on your own in practice? How did this arise for you?
Yeah, it came about on my own, kind of out of personal necessity. And I think, you know, your personal story to the work you do now is pretty similar to mine, in that I finished about 7 years of higher education in the health space and didn't feel like I really learned anything about women's health in particular, and how hormones work, how they operate, how they impact things like metabolism and nutrient utilization. And, you know, I initially went into this field thinking I would work in sports nutrition. And as luck would have it, I was dealing with a whole bunch of hormone health symptoms while I was in school getting my credentials. And so I was spending all my free time trying to learn this women's health stuff that really wasn't part of our curriculum. So, you know, at the end of all the schooling, I had an RD behind my name, but really felt horrible health-wise. And I was like avidly applying the nutrition stuff I was learning. So I would say the realization for how we need to customize nutrition for women specifically and how that might change over different seasons of life really came after. And it was personal necessity first. It was like creating this life raft to get myself out of hormone chaos. And then when I got there, I looked around and was like, huh, I think a lot of other women are hungry for this kind of info and they don't want this like one size fits all recommendation for things. And so once you start digging into that and working with clients kind of across the lifespan, you start to see some pretty clear patterns of things that get depleted at different times and how we might make for smoother life transitions.
Yes, personal necessity is really, I think, the driver of everything important that we accomplish in life, right? Pain becomes our purpose. So I love that you're really focusing on nutrition around hormones and helping women with it, because what you put, you are really what you put in your mouth. And I know we say that all the time, you are what you eat, but I think we don't really get it. And I've seen this meme on the internet where it's a person that's literally made out of food, right? So their shoulders, broccoli, and their right eye is cauliflower, and their left eye is pork. And, you know, and so when you look in the mirror and you see your flesh and bones and skin, really think about it, that it's what you ate for dinner last night. It's what you ate for breakfast this morning, or didn't eat, I should say. So how would a woman know? She's, you know, we generally talk to women who are over 40, so they're possibly in the perimenopause transition. Maybe they're having PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, maybe fibroids, endometriosis, some of these estrogen dominant conditions. How should she suspect that she might have a mineral imbalance? What would you say to her?
Yeah. So I think minerals don't get the airtime that they deserve. I feel like we talk about vitamins a lot more, and that was definitely the avenue of investigation I was interested in first. Minerals kind of came around after the fact when we were trying to figure out why the heck certain clients weren't getting better as fast as others. And so minerals, like kind of in as simplistic of a term as possible, they're really just enzyme cofactors in the body, meaning that they kick off reactions. And so these reactions can be things like producing energy or ATP in the cells, so our metabolism and energy production. It could be part of making healthy red blood cells so we can carry oxygen around. They are how we get nutrients and hormones into the cell. So actually the way your hormones interact with their target tissue is dependent on enough minerals being there at the cellular level. They're necessary for digestion and absorption. And so really the point that I'm making is minerals impact everything. And if we are deficient or imbalanced in minerals, some of the classic symptoms would be fatigue, brain fog, kind of your list of hypothyroid constellation symptoms. So it might be cold hands and feet, brittle hair and nails, or maybe some hair fall, slow wound healing, a lot of digestive complaints secondary to not making enough digestive juices. So things like bloating, food kind of sitting uncomfortably, constipation, or just sluggish transit. And we typically see women peeing all the time when they're minerally deficient because we don't have the minerals to actually hold hydration in the cells. So you might feel like you're drinking water constantly and just peeing constantly, or maybe waking in the night to pee. So those would be a couple of the first clues that we'd be looking at.
Right. So many of the symptoms that we experience, but I love how you explain that, really minerals are the cofactors that make everything else work. So we might be looking at your hormones, looking at your vitamins, looking at your fats, looking at your macronutrients, but we might not be looking at your minerals. I know this was really brought to my attention by an acupuncturist I worked with years ago, and she had me take some liquamens, trace minerals, and all kinds of other minerals, and really we started looking at it, and I saw how much better everything else worked. So that was my real life experience. Let's kind of talk about what are the biggest nutrients that women are deficient in that they might want to look at.
Yeah, so we do a lot of mineral testing on our clients. It's actually the only test we automatically do for everybody because for all the reasons we've discussed, minerals impact everything. It's kind of like our grassroots approach for getting things to work really well. And a common pattern that we see, especially women in their 40s, maybe getting into that perimenopause territory, is depletion in our foundational minerals. And so foundational minerals would be calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium, depending on who you're learning to interpret mineral testing from. Those can be considered foundational or kind of tier one minerals because they dictate really what happens with the rest of our trace minerals. So they influence the state of the nervous system and our buffering capacity with stress. They influence thyroid uptake at the cellular level. They influence digestion and our adrenal health too. And so if we think about what is happening in life in our 40s and 50s, and we've had decades probably of a lot of stress. We've had decades probably of some pretty poor nutrition advice. I think most of us grew up with a lot of like be skinny at all costs, 1200 calorie diets on all the tabloids at the grocery store checkouts. Maybe we've been through a couple of pregnancies. Maybe we've breastfed babies. And there's just so much mineral loss that happens from all of those different types of stressors that if we haven't been intentional about it, we're going to hit that point of those things being really depleted. And that's the most common pattern we see in that season of life, is just very low minerals versus them being really imbalanced, which is a different flavor of mineral issue.
Okay. And I know people are going to write in and ask us what tests are available to check minerals. Maybe the one you do, maybe there are others. What are the names of the tests?
Yeah. So we run an HTMA, which stands for hair tissue mineral analysis. So it's actually a hair sample that's looking at mineral status because hair is telling us what's happening in the tissue level. And it's giving us about a 3-month picture of mineral status, whereas blood work to look at things like sodium, potassium is telling us what's in transit. And it is going to be transiently impacted by things like hydration, food, or supplement intake. So we just get a longer term picture from a hair sample. And there are many different labs in the US that run HTMA tests. We use Trace Elements specifically, but there are several that do it.
So my question would be, for instance, when we look at heavy metal levels in people, there are many different tests. You can get a blood test, you can get a urine test, you can get a stool test. So urine and stool to look at how much is excreted, blood, how much is in the blood. And you can get a hair test, which some professionals like because they say it's a 3-month excretion average. But the problem is that heavy metals are not floating around in your circulation. So a blood test is pretty inaccurate. And because they're not floating around in your circulation, they're not being excreted through your stool or your urine readily, nor are they being secreted in your hair. And so really you have to do these provocation tests where you give a medicine to bring them out. So how accurate is hair analysis when it comes to looking at kind of the steady state mineral levels that are in your systems and in your cells on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think it's a really great tool for assessing mineral status, but the testing procedures of the lab really matter. So this was one of the more recent tests that we decided to bring in the practice a couple of years ago because I kind of had a bad taste in my mouth about HTMA testing validity and accuracy. I think I read some studies back when I was in school that kept this perception there. And so what was important to me is that we found a lab that used mass spectroscopy, which is the gold standard for assessing mineral analysis. It's also what the EPA uses to look at like heavy metal toxicity from a chemical spill in an area. So it's their gold standard test method for it. And then I also wanted to find a lab that did not wash the hair sample before they process it because that could influence and skew the results. So we found that in Trace Elements. They do a ton of, I forget the term of this for like their quality assurance, but they'll take a split sample report to make sure that their test is accurate and we're getting the same result for the same person run at the same time. And they do a lot of kind of independent measures for quality assurance, but all tests have their limits. No test is gospel is what we talk about with our clients. It's a tool. It's a guide. It's a way to learn more about you and your physiology. But with things like minerals and with metals, we often find that when we do a retest 4 to 6 months later, things have shifted quite a bit because minerals are defense against heavy metal accumulation. So as we start to restore mineral status, we start to shift, we almost provoke metal movement. So we'll often see more heavy metals in the hair on a retest because we started to move their foundational mineral status. So I think it's been an extremely reliable and valuable tool in practice, but it's always important with lab testing to keep in mind that this isn't the only story. We have to use this in context with you, your symptoms, your life, past data that we have, and we typically can't just run something once and call it a day.
Yeah, I think helping people to understand the limits, the value and the limits of lab testing, and each lab test has its own value and limits. And because we are living systems in a living environment that's constantly changing, we are constantly changing internally. Our external environment is constantly changing. It's not like setting the thermostat in your house, heat at this temperature, cool at this temperature, and set it and forget it. And that's why I always say repeat testing is necessary, looking at your story, as you said, your symptomatology, what's going on, where have you been, where have you been traveling, what's your diet been like, what's your stress level like, just all of the different inputs. So you start with testing. So calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, foundational or tier one minerals you might look at first. And then what are some, I mean, I know magnesium is huge for women. You know, it's used in what, over 450 processes. Do you want to talk a little bit more about these individually?
Sure. Yeah. I think magnesium gets good attention now, which is awesome because it does so much for us. I'm very rarely recommending something to like the general population at large, but magnesium is one of the few things I would feel really comfortable doing so because most of us are deficient, whether it's from the stressors and life seasons that we discussed or the fact that it's really hard to get enough minerals from food today, thanks to the fact that the soil mineral content is so depleted versus even 50 or 100 years ago. So sodium and potassium are really good starting points, especially if you resonated with that kind of low energy, almost hypothyroid picture of symptoms, because sodium and potassium are our more energizing foundational minerals. These keep things in solution. These help get hormones and other nutrients into the cell. They help us make digestive juices. So when we think about sodium, which I think if I had told my like young dietitian student self that one day I'd be recommending more salt to my clients, I would have never believed it. But we really, really need a good quality, nutrient-rich salt in our diet to function optimally. And I know we're coming off of a couple decades of being really salt-fearing, but there's a big difference between very refined processed table salt and unrefined mineral-rich. And the difference is that it hasn't been stripped of additional trace minerals. And I think it's probably not new to your audience that things exist in nature, typically in the form that they belong in the body, meaning we don't just find an isolated sodium molecule somewhere. We find sodium with abundant trace minerals in actual salt. So actually just adding like a pinch of a good mineral-rich salt to water first thing in the morning or making sure we salt our meals can make a big difference with digestion and energy levels. I know for me, that was a pretty quick win that I felt personally, and we see that play out with our clients. Potassium is another one, again, that's commonly very low. And especially if you resonate with the hypothyroid stuff, potassium is actually how we get that active T3 into the cells. And if we came from the low carb kind of fruit and potato fearing diet dogma, then we probably haven't been getting a lot of potassium because fruits, root vegetables, those would be our biggest potassium powerhouses in our diet. So we'd be looking for ways to bring those in with each meal. You can, of course, use mineral and electrolyte powders to accomplish this too. But again, those like whole food forms are going to come with a bunch of things that science hasn't even yet understood. Calcium is very good. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I want to, before you go on to calcium, I just want to mention with the sodium and potassium, you know, it's interesting. I just am back from traveling kind of to 13 different or 14 different countries in the past year and a half. And it's amazing in some of the countries I was in Africa, Middle East, they in commercially prepared foods, they don't put any salt because they really have taken this salt is the villain dogma to the nth degree. So they're like, it's a public health problem. We're not putting salt in restaurant food. A lot of places limit the amount of salt that's put in the food. And it's so interesting because, yeah, we so need the salt. And so I had a lot of conversations with people about, yes, maybe strict salts, sodium chloride is not great. But that sea salt, that pink Himalayan sea salt with all the rich nutrients, right? It's got color in it, which tells you, and usually the color is very varied. So right there, that tells you different colors, different minerals, is so vital for your health. And at any functional medicine conference, you'll see all the doctors like fighting over the salt shake.
Yeah, it's true. So they bring those tiny ones in their purses sometimes.
Yes, right. Because we know, you got to have the pink salt and lots of it. So anyway, I just wanted to add that. That's it for everyone. But go ahead with calcium.
Yeah, I'm glad you added that. The salt thing just needs to get out for sure. But the cool thing about minerals in particular is that you can do a lot of experimentation with this easily with things that are in your house and feel the difference in your body in a pretty short period of time, which is why it became so fun to focus on minerals, because in the world of hormone health, as you know, things typically don't resolve overnight. We usually need like 90 days of an intervention before we have huge shifts in cycle-related symptoms. But minerals, you can feel that change pretty quickly. So if you're listening and you're curious, I would just dabble a little bit in what we're talking about and note how that feels. So we hit sodium and potassium. Calcium, I think, gets a decent amount of airtime, just primarily about like bone health, especially for women. But it does a couple other cool things for us too. So it is very calming to the nervous system. So when we lack calcium, we tend to hang out in that sympathetic fight or flight state more often and struggle to get out of it. So that might feel like poor sleep, racing thoughts or minds, just feeling really amped up and kind of anxious. And that state further depletes minerals. So calcium is one of the ways we break that cycle and actually create some flexibility in the nervous system to go back to that parasympathetic or rest and digest state. So much like sodium, I love calcium from food forms the best, more than a calcium supplement, because again, we've got cofactors that we don't even yet fully understand and probably never will in science that really help with the way that we move and use calcium in the body, that it goes where it belongs in the bones and teeth and stays out of things like circulation and soft tissue. And then magnesium is the other piece of that kind of soothing mineral puzzle. So we've got sodium and potassium being more energizing, calcium and magnesium being more soothing and calming to the nervous system. Like you already mentioned, I mean, magnesium is involved in literally hundreds of reactions in the body. We actually can't even recognize an ATP molecule without magnesium attached to it. So the energy conundrum is a big magnesium situation. Most cycle-related symptoms improve with some supportive magnesium. So I'd be thinking about potentially a magnesium supplement, because as much as I love food as our first line of defense, it's really difficult to get a therapeutic dose of magnesium through the diet. We could do Epsom salt baths. If you don't have time for a full bath, you can do an Epsom salt foot soak, which is like a nice hack I like to do in a busy work day and still absorb that transdermally. There are a lot of topical magnesium sprays and lotions that you can leverage too. I think this is the mineral that when we're on vacation, especially if you're in the ocean and you just like feel so good and you sleep like a baby, it's probably because of that.
Yes. Sunshine, sand, the ionized air and the salt in the water. It's the best. So, this is where I think people get a little intimidated by minerals because one, there are so many. Two, there are so many forms of each different type. Three, now people are wondering, well, how do I get this, Kaylee? How much do I need? And how do I get it into my body, right? A lot of us want the convenience of prepared foods. We don't want to cook. I was amazed, particularly in Dubai and the UAE and in England, how the proportion of prepared foods in the grocery store compared to America, where it's more you have to put it together and cook. I was astounded. In London, it was, I'd say 3/4 of the supermarket was all already prepared foods, and similar in Dubai. So there's the idea of convenience. So I know that's a lot of topics I'm throwing at you, but there are several different types. Let's take magnesium, for instance. So you said mentioned take a supplement. Magnesium citrate, magnesium chelate, magnesium malate, magnesium threonate. How do people even begin to know what to do here.
I know. I really empathize with this. There are too many options for things these days, which is a blessing and a curse. And we get kind of stuck in the middle. In my experience, best tolerance and absorption and price has come from magnesium glycinate. Really well absorbed, generally well tolerated, does not have the bowel loosening impact that like a magnesium oxide or citrate would have because it is better absorbed. 3-8 is another good form as well that I think is generally well tolerated. It tends to be a little bit more expensive than glycinate. And I'm a big fan of like the lowest effective dose of things. I don't need to get the creme de la creme if the second step down does the same work for me. So I think that's a pretty good one to start with, to trial that I find most people tolerate well. If you are totally brand new to minerals, you've never taken a magnesium supplement before, then I would actually even start more simply than that and do like an Epsom salt bath or foot soak or a topical spray or lotion, because we're getting to bypass the digestive tract when we do a skin transdermal delivery of magnesium. So we can avoid any potential bowel disturbances. It tends to be a little bit more gentle than a supplemental form. And I would also say too, that everything works best in tandem. So I wouldn't get hyper-focused on just magnesium. I would also be bringing in, you know, a little good pinch of salt in your day and your water on your food, and then just keeping in mind those potassium-rich foods. And this is the main reason why we like to start with those foundational minerals, those first four, before we get any further on in somebody's report, because it does get so overwhelming so quickly. And if we can hone in on those first four, everything else tends to fall into place. It becomes much easier to address some of those secondary and tertiary minerals. But we always start with those first four for about a month first, get some, you know, good momentum going, some quick wins in terms of symptom changes, and then we can get more complex from there.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And as you were speaking, when I was traveling, one store I went to for Epsom salts also had pink Himalayan salt in a big bag for a bath soak, and they had did sea salt. And so I got one bag of each, including the Epsom salts. And I really tried to notice what was the difference I felt after taking a bath with each of these. Mm-hmm. And by far, I felt the best with the pink Himalayan salt. And I think it's because of all these, the panel of contents of minerals, the panel of, of minerals that were in there.
Totally.
And then where would you go next from the foundational minerals?
Yeah, so I would spend about a month kind of playing around with that, bringing some of those foods into your diet, noticing how you feel. And then when we look at HTMA testing, some of the next kind of orders of operation, I guess, if we're using a math term for what we would address next, we love to look at what's happening with copper and its relationship with iron and zinc, particularly for women. So copper is a really big deal for the way that we handle and move iron around the body. That's a Goldilocks situation, as most things are. We want enough, but not too much. We want enough so we can make really healthy red blood cells that carry oxygen well. And copper is also big for our connective tissue, so our collagen cross-linking, and so healthy skin, hair, and nails. And then if you've been pregnant or had babies, we pass a lot of copper on to babies during the third trimester. It's big for developing new vasculature and healthy connective tissue for baby as well. So we do see abnormalities in copper quite a bit in women. To add a layer of complication to that, things like birth control, particularly copper IUDs, can start to skew that copper balance with zinc and iron. So we would look at that next. Mm-hmm. And that varies so much from person to person. I'm not seeing like a flat, everybody in this season of life is deficient or everybody in this season of life has excessive amounts, but we would be looking at that and workshopping that accordingly, meaning we'd look at the diet to make sure that there were good copper and zinc rich food sources. We'd make sure that we had enough cofactors to help the way that we balance and move things like copper and iron. So things like vitamin C and vitamin A come into play with that conversation. And then just making sure that they can move and access iron well, and that it's not being stored in tissues. Those would be our next three that we'd look at.
Right. And I do just want to reiterate, the copper and iron are both kind of these Goldilocks minerals. You do not want too much. So if you're kind of, oh, if it's good for me, more is better, do not do that with your iron and your copper. Because you can totally overload yourself. And then these are heavy metal, they become heavy metal toxic in your body. And I've seen that with both of these minerals. So don't do that. So test. I'm always like, test, don't guess.
Yeah.
Test, don't Yes.
Yeah.
And so Amen. It's true here, right?
Amen. Yeah, especially with those, which is why I don't like to give out any recommendations related to copper and iron for someone to try, because I just don't know enough about you or what your testing results look like or history to make a safe recommendation there. But that would be the next area of investigation for sure.
Right. And what you will see is that a lot of the over-counter, you can buy copper and iron separately, but a lot of the multi-women's vitamins that are over-the-counter will not include iron and copper specifically because of the potential to overload. Nutritional supplements tend to be a very litigious area, so they just steer clear of it. But this is where some of the higher level prescribed or available nutraceuticals that you can only get through a healthcare practitioner have versions usually for women. They'll have a multivitamin mineral with copper and without copper, with iron, without iron, because they're assuming that you're getting tested and you're being appropriately followed and counseled. That's how delicate it is with these. And what are your thoughts about, you mentioned earlier, you prefer people to get these minerals from their diet, from food, dietary sources, rather than supplements. Can you explain why that is and how successful people should expect to be with manipulation of their diet to increase their mineral status?
Yeah.
Versus taking supplements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough. Like we talked about with the way that the soil and therefore our food supply is different in terms of nutritional value today. It takes a very concerted effort to do this through the diet. And I've yet to be able to be completely void of supplementation to really accomplish this. But I do think it's important that we start with food, because food is brilliantly designed by nature to have minerals and vitamins in ratios that really support utilization and absorption. So for example, with our kind of like copper conversation, the relationship between copper and zinc is a really important one in the body. And foods that have copper always come with a little bit of zinc and vice versa. So we've got good checks and balances in place with food where we're not likely to overdo something. And we have a whole bunch of non-identified by science factors in whole foods that I think really benefit the whole human being. A lot of our antioxidants and polyphenols and things that are not nutritive, but do influence the health of the host. So I think looking at, again, bringing in some good fresh fruits and vegetables as mineral rich powerhouses, good broths, whether it's a bone broth or a vegetable broth, is a great mineral rich food to bring in. Those good quality unrefined salts are great to bring in. Quality dairy, if you tolerate that, for some of the calcium, those things would be great foundational elements to build that diet. And then we can supplement beyond there if there are gaps to fill based on your testing, your stressors, your story. But I think we're remiss if we want to take, you know, three handfuls of capsules every morning and then not have to care about the food that we eat. It just doesn't play out the same.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something that food has that by the time they crunch down these nutrients into a vitamin capsule for you, that's the prana or the chi, the life force in the plant. And like you mentioned earlier, everything exists in nature in a form with a life force that's meant to nourish us. So what are we doing if we're only taking supplements and we're not eating food? So just a little story. So someone who I respect very much in the business world, who I was working with, and he had a bit of a weight problem, and I hadn't seen him for a while. And then all of a sudden I saw him, and he's telling me that he's gone to this diet and he's looking great, right? Really trim, lowered his body fat, muscular. So I asked him, what are you doing? He said, oh, I changed my diet. So he's making protein powder pancakes in the morning and having, like, you know, artificial sweetener syrup for breakfast. And he's basically not eating real food all day long, but he's cutting his calories. And he's like, I feel great. And inside, I'm like, that's not going to last forever.
No. Because
he's not getting that. So talk about those intangibles in food, in real food that are so important.
I think there's so much more to nourishment than just like the actual food and the composition of it, like carbs, proteins, and fats. We get real focused on the composition of food in the weight loss space and miss the nourishment that comes from eating something that you enjoy, that you took time to prepare, that you put love and intention into as you prepared it, or maybe put love and intention or gratitude into it right before you consumed it. Maybe this is a family recipe. This is something that's culturally relevant to you. There's so much more nourishment we get from that than something that's been packaged, processed, manipulated, and is so far removed from that initial version of the food. A good example of that would be like a whole apple being as close to it as it exists in nature as possible versus applesauce, apple flavored candy, you know, at the far end where we've gotten really far removed. So we just get more nutrition on the closer to the natural form as possible. And when we contrast that with really processed foods, which they normally have to go back in and add some nutrients to make it comparable, the form is different. So we have synthetic lab produced vitamins and minerals in fortified foods and a lot of supplements. There are some great supplements out there that are not synthetic forms, which would be a helpful thing to look at. But what exists in nature is the form that your body is most easily recognizing, most easily absorbing and using. So there's a big difference between like the vitamin C that you get from eating a whole orange or grapefruit than the like refined ascorbic acid you might get in a vitamin C drop. Very different functions, and they come with, you know, that full spectrum of polyphenols and antioxidants in the food form versus that kind of refined extracted supplement.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing that. So copper, iron, zinc, cofactors, vitamin C, vitamin A, what would we work on next?
Yeah. So there's a mineral that's kind of further down our chart called boron that does not ever really get talked about. It's not like this fun, sexy nutrient that you're going to see a lot of posts about, but boron really helps with the way that we retain potassium and magnesium. So potassium and magnesium are supposed to mostly be inside the cell. And they dip outside of the cell during seasons of stress. So that's one of the first cellular changes when we see stress hormones enter the system is magnesium and potassium leave the cell. That's why we can sometimes see them actually shoot up on a hair test if we catch this acute stress picture. But anywho, boron helps with the retention of potassium and magnesium, which is a big way to bolster our tolerance or resilience to stress. We talk a lot about stress and burnout with our clients, and I know that in and of itself can become overwhelming because we can't like quit our jobs, leave our families, and typically can't just take a sabbatical tomorrow if we need it. And so the goal is not this stress-free life where we have just a whole day of meditation and yoga, unless of course that's an option for you, which is amazing. But our goal is to build that resilience, and retaining our potassium and magnesium is a big part of that. And boron is a piece of that puzzle. It does have some function with the iron copper balance too, and even the way that we make sure that calcium stays in the bones and teeth. So it is a kind of an unsung hero in the mineral world that we definitely look at with our clients on testing and can provide support if needed. A couple easy ways to provide some boron support. If you want to go food, we're actually looking at prunes and prune juice being a good boron source.
Yay.
Which is funny. Easy, right? If we want a supplement form, that can come from, you know, drops or capsules. It's usually just like a plain boron supplement, or like you mentioned, a trace minerals dropper. A lot of the trace mineral formulations that are out there have boron in the mix because it is the full constellation of macro minerals and trace minerals. So there's easy ways to do that. Then a lot of the like mineral baths. So we talked about Epsom salts. We talked about Himalayan pink salt being in the bath. You can even put like food grade borax that we would use as like a cleaning aid into a bath and actually get boron from that absorbed through the skin. So there's a couple of different options for some boron support.
Now I have never heard that. What is food grade borax?
Mm-hmm.
And put it in your bath. Where do you even get that?
On Amazon. So it's usually a cleaning supply, right? It's what people add to their laundry to kind of boost the effectiveness of their detergent. But you can absorb that in a bath. And so we've experimented with this a lot because we do so much HTMA testing with our clients. And we've had some clients that really struggle to move the needle with the potassium and magnesium stuff. We'll do retests and it's just not budging. And so we started bringing in where we sprinkle in a little bit of borax in a foot bath or as part of like their bigger mineral detox full bath. And they sleep amazing that night. And then their mineral retests actually look better. So it has stuck with me as like a very low cost mineral added.
I'm going to have to try that and I will get back to you on what.
Please do.
I never heard of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There are many, many minerals. We can't possibly go through all of them during this show and teach you about all of them. You all obviously hear that Kaylin knows what she's talking about. I love that you test and don't guess. I am such an advocate for that with everything. But I do want to touch on, you talked a little bit about burnout, and it's the beginning of the year. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, January of a new year. I didn't do all the things I wanted to do last year, and now I have new things I want to do, and how am I possibly going to get them done, especially because my hormones are out of whack. I don't feel good. I don't have good energy. You shared this quote with me before we started recording from someone I love, Elizabeth Gilbert, that is, you have to participate relentlessly in the manifestation of your own blessings, which that's, I love so many quotes of hers. She just has a beautiful facility with crafting sentences and paragraphs and storytelling stories. And I think that this speaks to kind of the burnout issue. So can you talk a little bit about, I know it's a lot I'm asking you to do, but this quote and how it relates to burnout and where we are kind of at a new year 2024, and there's a lot going on this planet, right? There's, I think I heard in one news story, and you may not hear about this every day, there are 100 wars going on our planet right now. Insane. And we're in this kind of insanity where we're overwrought with technology. And now here comes AI. And you guys listening, you know the stressors that you've got. I'm not going to stress you out by listing them. But where does a woman even begin? And how does she begin to deal with her transitions and prevent or reverse her burnout and manifest her own blessings?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up, because I think this is the root, I think, of most hormone health issues, is this like chronic state of stress. And then on the other end of that being burnout. And it's tough because we're living in a time where we have access to limitless information and exposure to everything that's happening around the world. And we also have like pretty extreme pressures on our personal and professional lives. And maybe there's families in the mix with that too. There's just a lot on the plate. And I think we also tend to get almost addicted to the way stress hormones feel in the system. It starts to become a bit of our personality. And I'm like fully calling myself out a few years ago with this, but we love the feeling of being that like yes person. We just say yes, we take it all on. We are the one that shows up for everybody. We do the most, and our own cup is left on the back burner and is very, very empty. So a way that we like to talk about this with our clients, and I think what ties us back to that quote, is you have to decide for yourself what that vision of your life looks like. And in order to let go of the stress and burnout picture, there's often a like renewing your identity or letting go of things that don't fit anymore. So what I mean by that is, if we want to not live in this burnout state, we have to figure out who we are if we're not the person that says yes to everybody and no to ourselves. Who are we in that room if we're not the people pleaser that derives our worth from what we do for others only? And that's a pretty uncomfortable piece of work. But I think it's the only way out of this, because like she said in that quote, you know, you have to relentlessly participate in creating that vision for your manifestation. So what do you want life to look like? How do you want to feel in your body? How do you want to show up in the room? And I don't think we have enough examples of women that are really grounded in who they are, that aren't burning the candles at both ends, that know their worth comes from who they are, not just what they do. And I think if more of us awake to that vision and really resonate with that being the image, we can start to rearrange our life and our priorities and even our personality to support it, so that we don't burn through our minerals like a mad woman every single day and have to play catch up, so that our sex hormones can actually thrive because we're not in an environment of stress hormones all the time. And so that when we do go through perimenopause and into menopause, it's not such a rocky road because our adrenals aren't just burnt out and in the gutter already. So I think I maybe created more questions than answering any, but I think it's just this big conversation of who am I if I'm not burnt out? Who is that person?
But it's such an important conversation to have, because so many women are suffering with hormone problems. They're also suffering with micronutrient deficiencies, whether it's mineral, vitamin, other nutrients. And they're running around looking for answers. I just need my estrogen fixed. I just need my magnesium fixed. But like you said at the beginning, this gets to the root. The root is that we're running around trying to live and create our worth by everyone else's expectations, being the best. And, you know, the epidemic of busyness, particularly in some of the countries that I visited, it's in the nth degree. It's really at an insane level. And what was so beautiful is visiting some of the less developed countries where it's more of a simple existence. Connection is way bigger. You would see people walking to work together in groups of women or groups of men and talking, you know, in groups. And, you know, everybody wasn't on their phone. Oh my gosh, in every country I've been to that's considered a progressive country, nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking. Everyone's got their face in their phone and they're doing. And so I think having these larger questions, which we're going to be having more of on the podcast this year, I would love to have you on because it sounds like you've grappled with some of this, really talking about like this quote you shared from Thich Nhat Hanh, which I love. The miracle is to walk on the green earth, dwelling deeply in the present moment, right? Are we doing that? And that really gets to the crux of the issue. So before we wrap up, do you want to talk a little bit about how you've changed your life and your way of being in the world to dwell deeply in the present moment?
Sure. And I want to be clear that this is an ongoing and ever evolving practice. I don't think you just like arrive there and that's the end of the work. But as a business owner and working in like the health field that I know you can relate to, it's really easy to feel like your worth comes from what you give to everyone around you, and that the more you do, the better things get in your life. And I was basically just burning myself out trying to do work that I ultimately love. So I had to reevaluate that, because when I do my own tests, I was getting called out left and right about things being out of whack because I wasn't living in an alignment with what it takes to have balanced hormones and balanced minerals. So I had to really consider the pace and how I structured my days and create opportunities to really focus on being present and being outside and off of screens and just being instead of focusing on the doing so much. So having a morning where I don't check my emails or social media for like the first hour of the day, totally life-changing for me because I get to pour into myself before I let my energy go out into the world. Getting outside, we have chickens, which was a really fun thing for me because I have to go out there in the morning and do stuff with them. So get to be out there. Mm-hmm. Seeing the sun and trying to do that in the middle of the workday made a big difference. And I think at the end of the day, one of the like thought processes that changed it so much for me was remembering like you're the main character of your life. Like you got to make decisions as the main character, not the support role. We're always doing things for other people. And for whatever reason, I wanted to share that because it really made things click with me where I was not choosing things as the main character of my life. I was letting circumstances kind of steamroll me. But you steer this ship. You create this vision, this manifestation that you're working towards. So what do you want it to look like? And how can you own the responsibility for when it doesn't look that way? So mostly just called myself out a lot and continually work on that each day.
Yeah, I think it is a work in progress for everyone. But I find that as women share more about this and talk about strategies they find, things they've done, how they do it, make it work for them, it gives permission for others to do things that are off the beaten path and create their own map to their own sanity, the manifestation of their own blessings, their own ideal health. And so thank you so much for sharing the path that you're forging and how you're helping other women. I think it's been of great value. And please share with everyone where they can connect with you online.
Sure. Yeah, you can find me mostly on Instagram. I don't have the bandwidth for multiple social media platforms. So I'm on social media and it's just at Kaylee RD on Instagram. My website is the same. So you'll find more education like the stuff we discussed and then ways that we can help if you need help on that journey.
Thank you so much, Kaylee. Thanks for being here. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Hormone Prescription. I hope you are inspired to work on manifesting your own blessings, starting with your minerals, because that will help your hormones. Reach out to me on social media and let me know what you're doing and how it's working out. I'm going to try that thing we talked about. I'll let you know on social media how that works out. And I hope to see you again next week for another episode. Until then, peace, love, and hormones, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening. I know that incredible vitality occurs for women over 40 when we learn to speak hormone and balance these vital regulators to create the health and the life that we deserve. If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd love it if you'd give me a review and subscribe. It really does help this podcast out so much. You can visit thehormoneprescription.com where we have some free gifts for you, and you can sign up to have a hormone evaluation with me on the podcast to gain clarity into your personal situation. Until next time, remember, take small steps each day to balance your hormones and watch the wonderful changes in your health that begin to unfold for you. Talk to you soon.